For those of you who don't know, we have Calvin Greiner, who's married to Stephanie, who they have five children, and I believe they're blessed with 10 grandchildren.
That's what I heard, yeah.
And your ministry is a ministry center, but I like ministry, but Calvin's about prayer. Calvin has done, started out walking around Mannheim praying and has walked coast to coast praying. And so when we were talking about prayer here, I thought, who better to get than Calvin? Who? And I think when I called you to ask you, I interrupted your prayer. So. That's a good thing. Calvin spends more time than maybe all of us together in a week praying. And so Calvin's obedient. The thing that matters is that he loves the Lord, just as we all love the Lord. And so he's here to share this morning about prayer with us. So, Calvin, we're glad you're here.
Thank you, Scott. Amen. No, beautiful grandchildren. Aren't they amazing, the grandkids? You know what? It's kind of different than your children, because you all know, right? You can leave, or they leave. No. I love God. My lovely wife Stephanie. We're part of a church in E-town, Dove Fellowship. So I said, just go fellowship with the believers and tell everybody at Dove E-town I said hi. Okay, so I think she will do that for me. So Barry and Colleen, years ago. We did a trip to the West, and we did Pikes Peak. So my son, I'm going to start my story right now, but it's kind of, I'll be real quick with this. So my son said, Dad, I don't know. Niels, he said, I don't know. I said, well, let's go. It looks good. So we started going up Pikes Peak, and about 7 mile marker, ding, 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 sleep. 8 mile marker, 9 mile marker, 10 mile marker, 11, 12, they closed the road because of snow and sleet. So Barry and Colleen, guess who's turning around and going down first? Us. I said, video this. If we don't make it, at least somebody can see it. Scary, driving down Pikes Peak in sleet. You kidding me? So we heard on the way down, or somebody went over the side. I don't know how far they went, but they went over the side, and we survived. Scary, but that's beautiful, isn't it? We only got to 12-mile marker. So I thought I had to tell that story. So God bless you. You made it up, 19-mile, whatever it is. Yeah, okay. All right, I'm going to follow through with these little. Now we'll get to this. So Nicole, right? Nicole, okay, here's $20 to invest in. You have been a faithful son, or a faithful daughter. You love people so much. I can feel it in your heart. You have great compassion. So that's not much, but that's a little token from God. God's going to keep providing what you need. And this church is praying for you, so you're covered. Keep it up. Amen. Thank you for being faithful. Amen. Luann, come on up. So we're going to, this is the way, I love this. These things. I'm Mr. Greiner. We have the same last name. That's cool. So God impressed upon me last year, October. He spoke to me in the night vision and nighttime, and I may sleep in, but I'm not sleeping. Some of the most beautiful moments in my life are the quiet times. I love it. So God impresses upon me his ideas and thoughts, and I don't get it always right, do you? But we work at it. We try to listen. So the Lord impressed upon me to start making, do you need this mic? Okay.
They record it.
Well, turn your hearing aids up then, you know, I mean, come on. You know what you have, you know, okay. Or turn them down, I don't know, whatever. So the Lord began to speak to me about making scepters, and scepters. I mean, was that God or me or whoever? And I thought it seemed right. So I said, next morning I get up and I look at my library, and I have books, but not too many. I have enough. And I start to look. And the second book I looked at, I have one book in my library about scepters. And that was like the second book. So, you know, when God confirms things, it's like, I'm getting it, right? Are you with me? Sometimes he has to speak 2 or 3 or 4 or 400, but eventually, if we're listening, we'll get it. I said, that's it. I feel it just seems right. So I began to ask God, how do I make a scepter? What do they look like? What should I put on it? So I followed through with my impression, and I thought, what is written on it is so important. So I scaled back my thinking to a couple words, and I put, isn't that neat? Look at this. Scepter, it's God's redemption. So when this scepter is held toward us, it means I am your redeemer. In other words, we're his children. We're a part of his family. We have been bought with blood. Number two is salvation. So, you know, I pray everyone here knows you're part of God's family. You are born again. You have God's Spirit. You have a Father. You have a Lord. You have a Savior. But, you know, we're still here until that day. So we are continually being saved, you might say. Salvation is like deliverance or protection, or if you're on a boat and you're fishing and you caught a big fish and a storm comes up and you know you're about ready to drown, you go, Lord, save me, help me. Kind of the same word. So salvation is like ongoing. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for the salvation of God now and forever. Then deliverance. Didn't Jesus say in, I think it's Matthew, he said, pray that you be delivered from the evil one. If you don't know, you have a personal enemy. If you don't know it, something's wrong with you because you're probably not doing much. I don't know, but I know one thing. We have a personal enemy, the devil and demons, right now. If you have lived a little bit, you know what I'm talking about. Then look at that, favor. Esther had favor. That's why she could do what she did. What did Mordecai say to Esther? Do it, girl. It'll come some way. God will deliver this his people. He will do it. Yes, but who knows whether you're come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And then we have righteous rule and kingdom authority. So I shared with Pastor Mike. I said, I want to give this to your wife or maybe some other ladies here. So silver, you see the silver in the bottom? Beautiful. Redemption. Read your Bible. The tabernacle was on pillars of silver. Everything is paid for. It's bought. You're redeemed. God owns you. So everything God does is based on his love through his redemption. The bottom didn't take a lot of blood. Talks about the sprinkling of the blood. That blood came from God the Father through Jesus to earth, and it dropped. And that blood spoke, I love you. And it's still speaking, I love you. Amen. Forever. And you know before the throne, before God the Father, is the blood. That blood will be there forever and ever as a reminder to God and to us and to all the price that was paid. Don't ever forget it. Without the shedding of blood, there is no, I said no, forgiveness. Anybody know what the color purple stands for? Royalty. Royalty. Amen. How about the gold? See that little bit of gold kind of over top? Gold is the king. Glory. Glory. The gold and glory. On the top is white. God is holy. Always will be. Always was. Amen. Holy, holy, holy. A reminder of his holiness. Phew, it's amazing. And anybody want to take a guess what the blue is? Blue is significant of different things, but from the Bible standpoint, it talks about blue is heavenly color and Holy Spirit. heavenly and Holy Spirit. You could go on and on with blue. Blue is beautiful. But blue is, so we have a scepter with colors that speak of God's. You see, it's not my message yet, but I'm going to do it anyway. Because this is important for the ladies, for the Esthers. So colors speak about God's heart. So if you read in the Bible, shepherds, staves, rods, swords, whatever, they all have a word. They have a identity. It shows you what God's like. So this is a scepter, but what is God like? I just read to you what God's like. So I would like, why not? Is this okay to do? If you can, how about the ladies? Is that okay to ask the ladies to come up? Come on up. All you ladies. Men, you just stay right where you are. And this will be brief, but. And then, Kathy, you stay up here because we're going to talk about the next gift. So, okay, ladies, young ladies, middle-aged ladies, gray-haired ladies, old ladies, whatever. I'm sorry because I'm part of the group. So, Luann, sister, why don't you take this, and I'll present it to you and the ladies. Come on, gather around, Luann. Why not? You're special. All of you are amazing. If you don't want to, but it'd be cool. There you go. That's good. If y'all want to touch it, doesn't.
We'll put our hands on it.
There you go, God. So, Father God, thank you for your daughters. Wow. Thank you for the Esthers in this room, in this church, in this ministry, even in 10th Central. I'm sure there are young girls coming in here that you have chosen and called, set apart, probably to be a light and a salt in the earth. So we bless this ministry I do with the blessing of Pastor Mike and Scott and others, the elders, the leaders. I pray this scepter would just be a sign and a token of the authority and the righteousness of God and the holiness of God. Let Luann, Pastor's wife, let her carry and store this with others. Let the blessing of God be upon your daughters in the name of Jesus. Luann, if you do.
Flip it. So, Lord, as we look at the wording on this scepter, and the scripture says, who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Lord, you've brought each one of us in our sphere of influence for such a time as this, that each of us have our people that you've brought in, our divine appointments, and people we're still going to meet. Lord, you want to use us, and it means stepping out and doing some things maybe that feel uncomfortable, maybe even life-threatening, who knows, like Esther, but you will go with us. So help us each to hear your voice, to be secure in who we are and identity in you. Thank you for our salvation, redemption. Lord, thank you for the gifts you've put in each one of these women standing here. May we partner with you and use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Kathy, I'm going to have you share briefly. Luann, you want to please stay up here? So, I don't know. I just like to give things. God does too. God's a giver, you know. See that beautiful? You want to guess what kind of wood that is? Hickory. Isn't that beautiful? See the graining on it? It's neat. So I think some of you have a gift. I don't know. But I put on, the Lord is my shepherd, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We just sang that song. Good, good. Worship team, I love that. Especially the grinders part. No, just oh, it's good. It's good. Justin, good job. And sir, he did good up there. Wow. God bless you. Whew, it's good. So I was praying about bringing something with New Beginnings on the rod. I mean, your church, New Beginnings. And Scott knows about this. I thought, what would be a short sentence of who you are and what we are called to do and be? So I worked on it, and I thought, okay, New Beginnings. You're a church family. Maybe you just arrived from, that's a long way from California. Did you bike it? Walk it? Train? Bus? Oh, yeah. Okay. He drove, Rose? He drove the whole way? From Palm Springs, wherever? Phew, good job. Yeah, okay. Calvin, stay focused. A church family. That means you're my sisters. You're my sister and my brother. You know that? Like it or not. We're related. Forever. Yeah. We're trying to work on it. Yeah. But really, God has a family. I'm your brother, and you're my sister and brother. That's incredible. So you have to love me. You get to love me. I get to love you. No, forever. I'm going to look different up there. Barry Haldeman and me and all of you guys. You know, it's kind of the way you can't get away with it. Anyway, the hair. I'm saying we're getting older on the outside. But I think by God's grace, we're getting younger on the inside. Greater is he that is in us. The inner man is renewed day by day. Okay. A church family. Got it? Whether you attend her all the time or not, you're a family, a church family. And you have a lot of brothers and sisters across the world. Come on, amen? You got to remember, it's not just here. It's everywhere, every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Glory to God. I was at a meeting yesterday. There was 23 Korean. There's a team from Korea came, and we had worship and prayer and praise. And I thought, wow, they're going to be with me, and I'm going to be with them forever, my Korean brothers and sisters. Okay, you already read this, didn't you? You're cheating. It's okay, you're not cheating. A church family and a godly fellowship of believers, not doubters. Somewhere, sometime in your life, you believed. You believed in God, his son Jesus. You believed in salvation, the blood. You cried out for mercy, and you became part of God's family. You believed. Now, do we still believe? One of my struggles, do I really believe? Do I believe? Do you believe? And then that fellowship part. So, Kathy, can Kathy share what she sensed? Is it fit, you think? Okay.
A couple years ago, I don't know. Sometimes God has given me visions. Usually they have come when I have been in worship, and usually it's been in worship with more than me, like usually here with you guys or wherever. It's usually with a body of people. So the one time I had a vision of a rod or a staff in God's hand, there was like dark clouds, and then out of that came this staff of light or a rod of light, like it was straight, like lightning. It was so bright, coming down from, and it was a forceful blow down, hit the earth, and there was concentric rings, like from a nuclear bomb, where you see the rings go out from the impact. And what I was impressed was it was from this place. You know, the God's power would go out from here and from Mannheim to reach others for God. So that's what Calvin was tying in with the rod he gave.
Let's pray into that. Kathy, you just keep up. Luann, you want to hold us to Scott, if it's okay. Mary, I'm not picking anybody up, but I think this represents the church pretty well. So, whew. So Father God, we sent your affirmation, your approval upon the scepter and this shepherd rod. We're in awe, we're in thanksgiving of what you are doing in Mannheim, my home. I lived here. We live here. We live close. Not without a lot of words, we just pray that Kathy's vision and whatever it was that you were trying to show her or were showing her is very real right now. It's Teen Central, New Beginnings, Mannheim. So we pray today, right now, there would be a beginning of fulfillment, that out of this place, this town, this region, there would be the power and the glory of God. In the name of Jesus. And the Lord, you are our shepherd. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen and amen. Okay, stay here, everybody. I think you might have one of these. So what happens? Do you volunteer Teen Central? Anybody? Well, did you know?
Right here, too.
Okay. You might have one of those. Did you ever? Okay. Okay, we have another one. Did you know, I'm just kind of ad-libbing, my message will come. So back in 1985, God directed myself and another man named Frank Kerber to start Teen Central. It was then called The Oasis. I think it was May 1985, long time ago. So God had allowed me to be the co-director of Oasis, long time ago. So I have invested a little bit. That was a difficult job for me. I'm not used to these street kids coming off and just like, you know, they took a bicycle and put it up the flagpole, pulled the whole thing up. I'm not sure. So the unusual things happen. Unusual, very unusual. Believe me, I won't go. But I'm just going to be vulnerable. Back a couple years later, when I was released, I went to Nigeria. My wife and I and three girls went to Africa, and I taught in a Bible school and et cetera. So I remember the day I was just walking, man, hours, just walking. Had no clue. I think James Warren, is it Warren? I forget his name. Anyway, he was the new director, Jim Warren, long time ago. So I'm bragging on Jesus right now. I'm bragging on Jesus. I love to pray. That's my job description. So I'm walking around Mannheim. God said, I want you to go. I felt the impression. I don't want to get too bold, but God impresses us. He speaks to us. We sang about it. So God does talk through his spirit, by his word. Truth, always truth. So I sensed the Lord said, I want you to go by Oasis. It was still Oasis, the other side of town. I want you to give a word to the office. I want you to bring a word through faith and patience. You inherit the promises. Don't quit. Don't give up. It will be fulfilled. Had no clue that the director at that time, Jim Warren, was ready to shut the thing down. It was tough, finances, whatever. It was like one of the most crucial times in this life. And he said, God, I don't know what to do. I'm tired. I'm weary. Should we shut it down? And he had the authority with the board to do it. So I showed up with this verse, one verse in Hebrews, one verse. He comes back from the cat's, whatever it's called down there. Is it cat's meow? Okay. He was in there praying. Said, God, I need help. I need something. He comes back to his office across the street. And he picks up this word that God asked me to deliver to him. He said, that's it. That's it, God, thank you. That's what I needed. That's what I needed from God to encourage me, to affirm, don't quit. Don't shut it down. Could it be? I don't know. I'm just saying, obedience. How did I get that word? In prayer. Listening. Amen? Amen. Okay. So, there you go. Okay. There's your baton. What's this say? Passing the kingdom of God baton. All the kids that come in here, from generation to generation. Come on. You're here because somebody birthed you, a mother, a father, grandfather, great-great-grandfather. Not everybody, I'm sure, was godly, but thank God you're here because God somehow blessed you with the ability to be here from another generation. So amen. Carry on the baton. So Scott, okay, you all may be seated. That's the introduction. Okay, we won't be real long. We'll whatever. So I'm Calvin, born in, of course, the hospital, but my mother and father, Lester and Naomi, went to Cheeky's Church of the Brethren. My dad was a deacon, and he sang with your dad, Dan Haldeman, who else was it, Robert Hess, Grable Stauffer. Did I get it right? Ooh, it's good memory. My dad could sing, and when Dan, Barry's father, and Grable Stauffer, and Robert Hess, was Robert in that, Robert Hess? Did he sing with the, yeah, wow, it's good. So, real quick, I have an older brother, Jerry, and younger brother, Nevin. Jerry passed, he was 85. I'd happen to be the black sheep of the family. I was, totally. So at the age of 16, 17, 18, I don't know how much you remember, Luann, of my lifestyle, but it wasn't very good. So I started drinking, underage drinking, and I still went to church a little bit. I remember one morning Robert Hess was preaching. You don't remember him, some of you, but a couple of my friends were up in the balcony sleeping, just like this. And you know Cheeky's Church, you know the brethren preachers, it's something you don't do this often. He stopped his message, Robert Hess. He said, I hope those guys up in the balcony are praying. I cannot believe he said that. He stopped his message at Church of the Brethren and said to us publicly, I hope you're praying. And of course, we were sleeping, whatever we were doing. So that began my years of rebellion. I'm just telling my story. So at the age of 23, 1975, I had an encounter, an experience. I came home from a very bad night. I was sober, went to my room and was just broken. Sometimes it takes that. Sometimes it doesn't. But for me, that's what God did. I was empty inside. And I said three words out of my heart. You might have heard this before, but this is my story. I said three words. Didn't even know you could know God. Isn't that crazy? I went to church all those years, heard Ernie Reisinger and Robert Hess and preachers, Glenn Foss, preachers, but never understood what they were saying. There was no revelation in my head, yeah, but so I never knew. I never knew I could know God as a father, never. So that night I came home, I said, Lord, in here. Didn't have any tracks, cassettes, no preacher. I said, Lord, help me. So I said, January 25th, 1975, and I was born again, instantly. No one there but God. I knew God was now my father. Whew. He became my father. I knew it by the Spirit. I knew Jesus became my Lord and my Savior. How did I know? The Holy Spirit. The witness of the Spirit. What's the proof is in the what? My dad, I guess, is that true? Is that right, Mr. Griner? No. So, my dad cried over me, Lester, my father, come home drunk. I'm not bragging on this, I'm just saying. My dad would just meet me at the walk, give me the keys. I got caught for underage drinking. I guess he heard about it, I don't know, somehow in the paper, whatever, I didn't tell him. So he said, give me the keys. He said, you don't know what you're doing to my to your mom, to my wife and me. But you know, I work with my dad on the farm. That's not easy. I couldn't like hide. So when I was born again, you think my dad struggled before I was born again? He did not know what to do with me. Totally, completely, God changed my life. He still is overnight. I mean, like then. So I called, first thing it is, I called my girlfriend, who, not going to say anything about it, but And I said, something changed. I'm different. Called my drinking buddies. Called them. I said, you know I'm different? Someone said, you're crazy. You have no idea. You'll come right. You just, this is a crutch. So I'm building my story so you understand where I'm coming from, what gift is in me. So I went to Chickies, back to Chickies, and I don't think Fern Heise and a couple of the godly ladies helped me, So I didn't have a lot of wisdom, I don't think, but maybe some zeal. They all knew, the preachers, the ministers, they affirmed me, but they didn't know what to do with me. I'm like on the road to Damascus encounter. I mean, I tried to believe everything I read right away without the Church of Brethren philosophy. I'm not saying. So it's like, whoa, what's going on with you guys? Where's the love for God? Where's the zeal? Where is the passion to serve Jesus? So this is funny. Not funny. So remember Patty, Patty, what's her name? Anyway, I'll get it. Gaib, yeah. So back when they had something at Water Street Rescue Mission, you ever been there? So the youth group, whatever they were, I'm now 23 or whatever I am, I'm not youth. So they had this special youth night. So I don't know why I did this, but I'm like, anything God wants me to do, man. It's like, you know, when you're fresh and young in the Lord, you don't overthink things. You just kind of do it. So I said, you know, you want me to share a little bit at the Water Street thing? I know about it. I'll do it, whatever. So I don't know who was the president of the youth group, but they said, just do it. Maybe, I don't know. So I get in there with my 3x5 card, and my text is Hebrews 8:11. This is all I said. I stood up, kind of preaching, evangelistic, didn't know anything, but I knew I was saved. I said, tonight, if you're out there and you need help, you need Jesus, if you're drinking and whatever you're doing, God has an answer for you. And this was my text, Hebrews 8:11. I will be merciful to your unrighteousness and your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. That was my topic. I can't believe I said that. I will be merciful to your unrighteousness. Amen? And your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. So God may, I may bring up my past. It was horrible, some of the stuff. But God said, I forgot. What? Thank God there's no shame. It could ruin us. It could destroy us if we had to carry the shame. Thank you. So it was a So Patty Gaib, I walked off the platform. I'm like, I don't know anything about, much about God, but I knew one thing. I was blind and now I can see. I walked and Patty Gaib looked at me, Calvin Griner, what happened to you? She said, what happened to you? So that started my whole new story of living for Jesus. Okay. So when I got a few minutes. So Water Street, my first message. I will be merciful to your unrighteousness. Whew. You may have been a good Chickies person. You may have done a lot right. But I tell you what, you needed Jesus too. And we still do. Amen. So remember Manuel Huffer? Remember Manuel, Mabel's mom? Manny got saved, received Jesus before I did. He used to do the loop in Lancaster. This guy picked up women and whatever. We wasted so much time. So Manuel Huffer received Jesus before I did. Manuel Huffer, you kidding me? Manuel Huffer carrying a Bible? Not Manuel Huffer. He's carrying a Bible, a big Bible, and he's praising God. I said, that's impossible. There's no way Emmanuel Huffer, knowing him and his background, what he did, Emmanuel Huffer, I, you know what I said to him? I said, poor guy. You'll never have fun the rest of your life. because I had no revelation. I had no understanding. I didn't know. So Emmanuel, and I couldn't shake it. I go, Emmanuel, are you okay? I mean, what happened to you? I can't deny it, but poor you. You see, there was no understanding. But that see, the evidence of a changed life, Mr. Greiner. The evidence of you can't deny it. Somebody changed him. Something happened to him. There's a difference in him. How could it be? Jesus. And he's still my good friend. Amen. Okay. So all I wanted was the Bible. It's crazy. My dad, they didn't know what to, my dad, I don't know who won anything the first couple of years of my Christian walk. I don't know who won the world. I don't even know who won the Super Bowl. I don't know. I just stayed home and read my Bible. Day and night, I would just, and sometimes on the farm, I'd come in for lunch and I'd just go read my Bible because I was hungry. This is not me. It's the grace of God. But I wanted to know God. I wanted to know him. So you have to get God's heart in your heart. You have to understand and hunger for him. You want to know him as Father. So then, I'm building up to my prayer ministry. So then things began to grow. I mean, I was called to be a pastor in Mannheim, and I just desired to walk and pray. So I would just walk a couple times a week, like Luann runs. I just walk around Mannheim, 45 minutes an hour walk around, and go back to my house, and I do that several times a week. And you know what I sensed? Wow. God has put something in my heart. Because when I get to pray, I get to be with him. If I pray an hour or two, I'm with God an hour or two. I mean, we're with him now. So this love for prayer. See, you have to store God's word up. We have to store God's word up in our heart. Amen? We have to love him. We have to be humble. We have to repent. We have to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Forgive me. All the time. Amen? Not as much, I don't know, as we used to. I think we're growing, right? But that's the way the lifestyle of a Christian is. So here we go. So, thank you, Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 21:13. I'm just going to leave my notes here. I don't. That'd be better. Matthew 21:13. We'll start there. So I began to. I just love to pray a lot, and we'll get into some of the stories. Okay, Matthew 21:13. No, let's go to. You know how preachers are; they keep backing up. Let's go to Matthew 21:12. You got it? And when Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Ouch. Yes, Jesus. I'm not going to go there, but this is what he said. He said, have you not read? It is written. It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. If that doesn't put the fear of God in us, I'm not sure what does. So God's church, he didn't say house to teach and preach, a house of prayer. So many of you won't be, I mean, I'm sure all of you could teach or preach or share up here. I'm sure that. But for sure, all of us can and should have a good, solid prayer life. Amen? Prayer is simply fellowship, communion, and we'll get into there's different kinds of prayer. But let's go to Mark. Let's make sure there's two or three witnesses. Mark 11:17. Mark 11:17. Same thing. Two verses out of the Gospels. And he taught them, saying, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations, the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Let's go to Luke 19:46. Just a couple of verses, then I'm going to build this story on prayer. 19:46. Same context. Luke 19, verse 46. Same thing in verse 45. He turned over the tables. He drove them out. It is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Do you know where he's quoting that from? Jesus does very little without referring to the prophets, the law, Moses, the Psalms, very little. So he's quoting from Isaiah 56, 7, which you probably know already. You can see that. So let's go to Isaiah 56, 7. And see what the context is. Let's start at verse, 7's a good place. 56, Isaiah 7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, etc. So building my story, and go with me on this because I have so many Bible references. I knew that I was going to go to heaven. I knew my home was heaven, but why am I still here? Really? You ever thought that? The best time to go to heaven is when you say, Jesus, take over, and everything's like, you're right with God, you're at peace, family's in order, wife and husband are loving each other, etc. But we're still here. And I pray when I first received Jesus, I said, Lord, could you come back like now? Do you ever pray that? I want to get out of here. You know, in my heart of hearts, the Holy Spirit already witnesses kind of your future. If you listen closely enough, you're going to sense, oh, yeah, that's why I'm here. That's the purpose of God. That's why he grabbed me and laid hold of me for this reason. That's freedom to know that best you can, and it's a growing thing. So I had a sense that in my life, probably God would ask me to do some very, very challenging things. And I wanted to escape that. Go to heaven. Okay, don't look at me that way. I tell you what, to be with Christ is better, to live, amen? So come on, we're still here. You're not going anywhere until God's finished with us. Regardless, no hair, a lot of hair, whatever, we're here. You're here, Sister Nicole, amen? You're called, you're chosen. All of us have our purpose. I want to finish my race well. I do. I want to finish in love, in faith, in joy, in peace, and in obedience. And we all know Matthew 25, well done, thou good and well done, thou good and faithful. So I want to, if I can, by that grace. So, yeah. So I wanted more. M-O-R-E, more. You know, the Bible talks about how much more will your Father give the Holy Spirit. Luke 11, turn to that. Luke 11, 13. So when I was young in the Lord, I'll tell this story. And then I'll give you verses. I used to drive car at the Manham Auto Auction. I had lane. It was like only a few. There was like 700, 600. Now there's thousands a day. So my dad would let me off Fridays. That's amazing. My dad said, go, I think your dad, your father, Bob. Yeah, he was my, whatever he was. That's right. So you'd hop in a car. Depends what lane you're in. You would drive the car. Sold. You bought it. Next car. That's what they do. They have an auctioneer. So I remember I hopped in this one car, and I turned the radio on. Now I'm just saying, I was a churcher brethren. I was born again. I loved God. I wanted all God had for me. And regardless of what I was taught, I read my Bible a lot. So I began to say, whoa, wait a minute. There's more. I'm going to heaven, but there's more. So I turned this radio on, and it was a church, a Pentecostal church in Lancaster, Mr. Flosser, and he was preaching. I mean, this man was preaching. You know what he was preaching on? Mark 16, 15 to 20. Okay. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is what he was preaching. To every creature, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that doesn't believe shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. They shall remove serpents and demons. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And after the Lord spoke these things unto them, they went forth preaching everywhere. And the Lord worked with them, accompanying them, being with them, wherever they went, working with them, accomplishing what was their heart, what was their word. And he said, I will be with you always. I'm going, wait a minute. I never heard that at Chickie's. I never heard casting out devils and speaking in tongues and laying hands on the sick and removing demons in darkness. So I go, wait a minute. That's scary. That's risky. But I'm going to that church because over radio he invited me. Oh, he never met me in my life. I'm like walking into this Pentecostal church. Come on, go with me. I'm a Shaw, Lancaster County, whatever I am. I'm a new believer in Jesus. I'm a baby. I'm a toddler. I don't know much, but one thing I know, something was different about that preacher. So I went in, and I never saw this in my life. The son, Buddy Flosser, took his jacket off. He's preaching on Elijah and Elisha. You don't do this, and Chickies, whatever. So he took his coat jacket and he slammed it down on the stage. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And I'm thinking, that is not allowed. How can you do that and get away with it? I've never seen it in my life. I'm kind of like shook, but I don't know. And they talked about the gift of the Holy Spirit, about having this power to live now, to be effective, to pray, to worship, to help others, to help Teen Central, to go into the streets of Philly, Pittsburgh, and walk across the United States and prophesy and pray for all these people and villages. And I mean, I'm just going off now. So they have a special night. You never heard this. Most people never heard this. Did you ever hear this? But this is my story. So they said, I want you to come in. There's a sorry for laughing. So I'm hungry. I'm hungry. That's the bottom line. Are you hungry? I heard about this. You know what I would do? I would get a book or a tape about the gift of the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, and I would be convinced it passed away because the book said so. Then I get another book or tape, and I would be convinced I can receive because it's for now. It would help me to serve the Lord. It would strengthen me. Then I get another tape, because remember the cassette tapes? How many remember cassette tapes? Maybe you still remember. I have a few. And I get a cassette tape. Forget it. Some scripture said it passed away. It just ended with the apostles. Then I get another a tape, and you can receive because Jesus said so. How much more will he give the Holy Spirit to them and ask him? So then I believe. Then you know what I did? I closed down all the books and the tapes. No more books, no more tapes. I said, I'm going to read this book. I'm going to read my Bible, and only God can convince me. So I read Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 9, Acts 10, Acts 19. I read 1 Corinthians 4. I read Mark 16, 50 to 20. And I said, whoa. Somewhere, some way, I believe God still wants to pour out his Spirit on us, that we can have a prayer language beyond our own mind. And so I went to this church, Pentecostal church. It was called Stand Up for Jesus. You guys with me? Am I too loud? Am I picking on you? Okay, good. Okay, good. Because I told Mike, I said, you know, the last thing I want to do, I don't want to come in here and just do stupid things. I have to honor what God said and my story. Enough. And so I went in that night. So they lined them up in the front. And you ever hear about Pentecostal swinging from the chandeliers? You ever hear that story? Well, there's like Pentecostals were different. That's what I'm going to say. They did not this lady beside me did not swing from the chandeliers, but I'm sure she shook them. I'm a little timid, hungry, going to this church. So I'm on my knees, and the preacher, buddy, he kept walking back and forth. Oh, God, oh, God. Now, Pentecostals have their tradition, and so do we. Amen? A good tradition is a good tradition. You hearing me? It's in the Bible. Some things we need to get rid of. They're just kind of like stuff that we do. So I'm not saying. I'm just saying I cry out to God that I would not get trapped in something that's not good for the body or for helping others or for me. So I'm like this. And the preacher's walking by. He's laying hands on me. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, fill this young man. Fill this lady. And you know what? This lady and this lady and this lady were getting something. And this lady and this man and but here, little old Calvin felt nothing. I mean, I felt zero. I felt less than zero. I left there, and the devil was waiting at the door of the Pentecostal church when I left. He goes, huh? You talk about the devil? You don't think I'm... Listen, folks, doubt, unbelief, fear, negative, it won't work, forget it, give up, whatever. That's his plan. So I walked out the door, and he said... Yeah, now I know it's the devil. I know, he said, you can get nothing, forget it. Just. But I didn't, because I was hungry inside. Because I knew enough from the Bible that God promised me a prayer language that I could pray with the Spirit, in the Spirit, by the Spirit. So I get home. I don't know if it was a couple weeks later. Saturday night, God comes to me in a vision. See, your story is different than mine. Don't even compare to me. But you have your own experience. And again, if you're not sure about praying with another language, that's okay. Amen. Keep reading. Keep hungering. Amen. Because you and I need help in our prayer life. If you think you can pray with this brain and know what's going on all the time, you got to go beyond the brain. You got to go with the Holy Spirit. Okay. So I'm in. This is Saturday night. I'm in a vision. This is a vision. You probably never heard this story, but this is kind of encourage us. Hungry, you got to stay hungry. Amen. I think I'm say 50 years. Sometimes I think, Calvin, you ever talk to yourself? David did. If you don't, something's wrong. No. Come on, Calvin. I do this. Calvin, knock it off. That's not right. Turn off the phone. Come on, that's enough. Too much time wasted, Calvin. What are you doing? I mean, I do that. Maybe you don't, but I do. Because I need to tell myself, come on, you behave. What are you doing wasting an hour or so? You should be whatever. So in this dream vision, I'm around a table, food. I'm sitting at a table, food. Huh? There was no food, but it was the preacher. This is God did this. I didn't ask him. He did this because you know what he saw in me? This is what I perceive he saw. He saw I was trying too hard. I was trying to do this and this and this. I was trying too hard and not resting and trusting enough. We all do it. You might be doing it now. I still struggle with trying and trusting. It's not wrong to try. Thank God. Amen. So, you ready? The preacher from the church, the Pentecostal church, was in my vision. The preacher is like right here. And I'm sitting at a table right here. Hunger. Hunger. See, I wasn't born again to bless me. I wasn't born again to just have all my needs met. I can live happily ever after, have all whatever. I was born to bless you. You were born again to bless me. You were not born for selfishness. Mary and they go in the streets. You guys go in the streets. That's awesome. That's what you were born again for. To bless like you, young lady. Luann, good teacher. We're here to help others. Amen? Jesus said, I didn't come to minister, to be ministered to, but to minister, to give. He gave everything. At least we can do something. Amen? Okay. So, guess what? Out of this preacher, you may not like this, but this is what I saw. Out of this preacher comes fire. Now, I'm smart enough to know flames of fire. Fire, Holy Spirit. I got that. Yeah, right. So this fire is coming toward me, and I'm at the table. I don't know, leaning front, and I'm at this, and my heart, see, that's amazing. Your spirit never sleeps. Your spirit's always alive. You may sleep physically, but your spirit can be conscious. Sleep, we need sleep. So in my heart, this is amazing. In my heart, I knew if I did not lean back, that fire would go right behind me, and I would miss it. I'm dreaming. I'm sleeping. This is a vision. I'm not in control, and yet I'm hungry and thirsty. So I saw this, and guess what Calvin did? In my whatever vision, I leaned back. The Spirit of God. I'm saved. I have the Spirit. I'm sealed with the Spirit. I'm right with God. The blood speaks. I'm ready for heaven. But there's a work to do on this earth for me. I lean back and that power went, and I start speaking in tongues. In a vision. I start praying in another language. I don't know what I was saying, but I know one thing, that was God. So then I get up Sunday morning, I go to Chickie's. I'm different. So, there's a new something inside of me. And I don't know what to do. I guess I'll go to Fernheisey or Ruth or whoever, maybe Kathleen Hollinger or Carly. I don't know. I know what to do. I'm new at this stuff. Tell me what to do. I need help. What just happened? Young men shall see visions. Acts 2. Old men shall dream dreams. Okay. So I get up, and this is my story. So the first, what do we have for, it's 11:30. What do we do? 10 minutes? Am I going too long? I didn't even get to the Bible.
If somebody needs to leave, they can go.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Good God. So I go to Chickie's, but what happened that morning? Now, my father, I know my father, Lester. I love my dad. I told my dad after I got saved, I would hug him, love him, lift him, carry him, put me down, I take my mom. I was free. So my earthly father had a difficult time sharing love with me. No offense to my dad. I don't think he ever told me he loved me once. But that's okay. Probably he didn't hear that often. I'm just saying. But when I have Jesus, I could lift my dad up. I could tell my dad I loved him. I sang my dad to heaven. Back when he died, the morning he passed, Pleasant View, I would go early. We had prayer meeting. We prayed like 3 years every morning. 3 years. My dad was at Pleasant View. So long story short. So I went into his room. He was like not conscious. But yet he was. I start singing over my dad. I think I was singing, just singing to him, blessing my dad. Now, physically, but I get to church and I got a call. Lester just passed. Maybe half an hour after I sang over him. I don't know what happened there. But I had the honor to be the last person to be with my father. And maybe my love for my dad, maybe he needed that. I don't know. Only God knows. But I get this call. I said, that's impossible. Anyway, how am I going on that? So where was I? Help me out. Oh, okay. So I had these few words. Every baby starts with dad, dad, mama, whatever. My grandkids call Gigi. Gigi. Hey, Gigi, sit down. Let's play with trucks. Huh? Tractor. The two grandsons. Wait till the granddaughters, the young one. Ooh, Barbie. I don't know. There's a difference. Huh? There's a difference between Rose and Jerry. Right? Thank God. Okay. Okay, I'm thinking. Okay, I'll do this. I'll just stay with it. If Mike invites me back, I can finish. Because I'll never get done today. I know. So here we go. So I read John 7. That's good there. John 7, probably the classic. Oh, John 7, because I don't want to hold you up. Some of you are very hungry right now, and you're thinking of burgers, whatever. Because I know when I'm at church, I believe whatever. Okay, John 7, verse 37. John 7, 37. If you look at my notes for your church, for New Beginnings, I have just started. So I'm sorry, but I'll do what I can do to release this to you. In the last day, the great day of the feast, John 7, 37, Jesus stood and cried. Now, if you study your Bible, there are times where Jesus got very loud. It's almost to the place where the Hebrew and the Greek said he croaked like a raven. So Jesus wasn't always soft-spoken. I can show you many verses. So he was passionate and loud. He was ready. He was zealous. He was confronting. He was pleading. You hear me? Okay. He cried. What's your Bible say? Cried aloud? Cried out. Okay. If any man is thirsty, your choice, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So I knew that verse. I knew that context. Okay, come, believe, drink, and receive. Four conditions. You got to come. If you don't believe, forget it. You come, you believe, you receive, and you drink, whatever order. So I knew that. So I said, okay, I have a couple syllables. I'm just being vulnerable. Every baby, everybody starts usually with a few words, a few syllables. Gigi, grandpa, whatever, you know what I'm saying. Most of what I had been given at that time was worship and thanksgiving, just a couple words. Is it okay to pray in another language and just thank God? Of course. So I'm convinced today that a lot of what I was saying was, thank you, Lord, worship you, praise you for your goodness, your good Father, in another language. So I said, okay, Lord, I appreciate visiting me, the dream, the vision, the language. But I said, see, this is hunger. And you can't give that to yourself. God is the initiator. God even gives you the desire to desire. I could give you the verse. God creates in you the will to will. Who gets the credit? God does. Amen? I mean, let's do this. I'll be done in 10 minutes or less. 1 Corinthians 15:9. I'm going to quote it to you. I should have started with that verse. 1 Corinthians 15:9. Then we're coming back to John 7, okay? If you want, I mean, Mike Wise, I'm sure, is a line upon line preacher or teacher. I jump around. So get what you want. Get it when it comes out. Because this might be. 1 Corinthians 15:9. This is my life verse. This is it. If I start to struggle, if anything comes into my life and gets in the way, maybe pride, cockiness, or fear, whatever, I go to this verse. It helps me all the time. Three times in one verse, 1 Corinthians 15:9, is the word grace. Three times in one verse. You will hardly, if ever, find another verse in the Bible that mentions the word grace three times. You ready? Here we go. This gives all glory to God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And so are you. Okay? By the grace of God, I am what I am. Period. And his grace, which was given me or bestowed upon me, was not in vain. In other words, Paul said, you know what? By the grace of God to preach, to be an apostle, to be a minister, to travel and serve, thank God I didn't waste it. It's not in vain. You hearing me? Can you imagine the people that lose their soul and don't make it and go to hell and are lost forever? They had the opportunity. So do we. They did not take advantage of the grace of God. God gave it to them. So the next part of that verse, he said, I worked hard. Have you worked hard? Scott works hard up at the shop, the hustlers. Luann runs hard. We all have our things. We, like you guys worship, you know, that takes energy and effort. Rose and Jerry, you know, you came from Palm Springs, so no. No, but we do use what we have been given, hopefully. I pray hard. I seek the Lord for cities and countries. There's been, I think, only three states in the United States that I did not prayer walk. Only three. I think it's Colorado, Iowa, and Nevada. Every other state, I have taken my feet and walked and prayed and declared and sought the Lord for. I have story after story after story. Okay, I labored. Did your Bible say it? I worked hard. Did your Bible say it? Yeah, I labored more than every other apostle, but not me. It wasn't me. It wasn't you. It was the grace of God. Wow. Okay, I'm going to tell two stories. You'll love these stories. So I am prayer walking Philadelphia. This was years ago. Close your Bibles, because Mike will invite me back, I think. He may not. That's okay. One shot, I'm done. But at least I get one shot. So I'm walking, and many of my days, not as much anymore, are given to go to cities and walk and pray. So I'm in Philadelphia, walking and praying, ready to give $5 to a homeless lady. She's sitting, and I was already. I was going to give her $5. She didn't ask me. Sometimes I get one up on them. Usually they say, "Do you have 50 cents?" I said, "That's all you need?" I laugh at them. I go, "50 cents? Do you have a quarter?" I said, "A quarter? Why not ask for a buck or two?" No, I'm joking with myself. I mean, God bless these people. They need more than a dollar or 50 cents. I get that all the time. "Do you have money for a cigarette?" And then I say, "I'm sorry, sir or ma'am. I don't." Sometimes God will say, "Give it anyway," but very seldom, okay? That's a tough one. So I'm walking up to this lady, ready to give her five. I said, "How you doing, ma'am?" She raises up from her stool, takes her stool, and goes, shh, that far from my forehead. I mean, full force, almost hit my forehead with her. She goes, "Rape, rape, rape." Well, I bump into an unclean spirit. I'm sure that lady has background and baggage. So it's like, yeah, wow. What do you do when that chair is like, shh? And I said, "Ma'am, I'm here in a different spirit." So I started to declare why I'm here. I'm here because I care about you. I'm here to pray for you and bless you. And I couldn't go any further than that because, shh. So I'm in, ever heard George Floyd? So I'm where George Floyd passed, right there. I could see the marking on, this is Minneapolis. I'm prayer walking with a friend of mine. I mean, serious prayer walking. I said, "The Lord said, let's go. Let's go to George Floyd. Let's go where he passed. Let's pray that God would." And I had a shepherd staff with the Minneapolis, Minnesota on it. "The Lord is my shepherd. I ride on that staff. Think of him." I had it made for Minneapolis. So we're walking there, and we meet a lady who goes there every day. This was 21, so this is like at that time. So, and I'm not there for any kind of weirdness. I'm there because God sent us there to see some redemption. So this lady saw me. She goes, she saw my staff. She goes, "Wow, what is that?" It's relationship connection. If you're going to walk and pray, man, you got to find a way. You got to ask God to connect with that person. I was in Philly. I'll tell this. I was in Philly. God said, "I want you to sit down right where the drug addicts are. Sit right next to them." This was Kensington. "Sit right there. And I want you to listen to them." I said, "Whoa." So I sat down, and a guy said, "You want drug? What are you here? You want a hit?" So, I mean, people are falling over, laying like this. If you ever seen Kensington, and the Lord said, "I want you to sit and listen." I said, one guy said, "Where are you from?" I said, "Mannheim." "Oh, Mannheim, the auto auction." That's it. That's all it took, is one little, so then we could start to relate. The guy beside me was like, "Hey," I said, what are you doing? What's going on?" He said, "This was not like this. Kensington was beautiful." Talk about the devil. You talk about sadness, pain, grief. Nehemiah, he saw the broken. And I sat there and I listened to him. And, you know, after time, he thought I was going to get a hit. We talked. And you know what? I didn't preach. I didn't even try to lead him to the Lord, but I became his friend. And he'll never forget the friendship. So then, back to George Floyd. So we're there, and I meet this lady. She goes, "Do you want to go meet George Floyd's aunt?" I said, "Who?" "George Floyd's aunt. She's right there." Okay, this is like, whoa. So we walk across the sidewalk. There's the George Floyd. Again, if you don't remember, that caused so much. Whatever happened there, I don't know, but it was not good. I'm not here to say what happened to police, but I'm here to say we were sent by God. Listen to the story. So we're here. We start praying with George Floyd's aunt, Angela Harrison. I believe she's a believer. That should not be out there, but anyway. So we start praying. As we're praying, the mart, I think, the place where George Floyd came out, if you know the story, it was right there. And a guy comes out of that food, whatever it was, and I have rarely, if ever, before or after, seen a person manifest demons like that person. There was like, you couldn't even describe the rage, the demons, the words, and you know what Angela Harrison said? She said, "You wait." I said, "What should we do?" She said, "This will be over. This will be taken care of in maybe 20 minutes. She said, "There's a team. They're called Agape Force or Agape Team, Love. They're here. There's some of them are ex-gang members, and they're sent by God. God said to come." She said, "We can't call the police. There's no way we can call the police. There's no way that we can involve the police in this right now. It's too tense." So we stood there and watched these men of God. I'm sure they were praying. Just careful. They didn't scream at him, but they came and they served that man, and he was changed. We were in Detroit, Michigan, praying with some godly men and women. And this guy comes up to us. I'm talking about my calling, your calling. You don't have to do what I do, but that's what God's called me to do and be. Go out there, meet them, pray, intercede, cry out to God for mercy. I've seen it time and time. So this guy comes up. He goes, "I got a gun. I want to kill somebody. In a prayer meeting, what would you do?" I mean, you're like praying, worshiping, seeking God, and this guy shows up. I mean, he has some demons. I got a gun. I want to kill somebody. Did he? I'm still here. We all don't know. There's like four of us. So what happened? I'm talking about the Spirit of God, okay? I pray you're hearing my heart today. I mean, I could have 1,000 more verses, but I'll close with this because it's time to go. So the Holy Spirit is God, and he never leaves. He's always there, wherever you are, whatever situation. I've been through some health stuff the last year and a half. I had blood clots and pneumonia, and they sent me to the ER. My blood pressure went crazy high, like almost 200. It's not good. So, yeah, I'm human. I need help. I need Jesus. I need wholeness. Amen? We're all in the same family. We all have the same needs. Amen? We have the same Father, the same Lord, the same Spirit. So the Spirit never leaves. Thank God. He's always there inside of us. He's God. He's our friend. He's our comforter. He's our helper. He's our guide. He teaches us. He reminds us. He glorifies Jesus always. If Jesus is not glorified in whatever we do, something's wrong. Amen? Whew. So this lady, thank God, Holy Spirit, this lady, the Lord, you know what I mean by downloaded? The Lord downloaded or spoke to her about this man. And she says, I'm laughing now. I wasn't laughing then. Gun. And he keep rising. I got a gun. I got a gun. I'm going to kill somebody. So this lady starts speaking to Robert. And this, I wish if you could have been there, you would have loved it to watch God move in the streets of Detroit. And she goes, Robert, it's just like red as mail. This is what's going on. This is what has happened. This is why you're doing this. He go. The Holy Spirit always has an answer, always has a solution, always has a way. That man left happy. We gave him some money, and he went on his way. Okay, let's stand. It's 11:50. I smell the bacon. No. I pray you heard a little bit of God through me. Hopefully, there's so many more verses about praying in the Spirit with the Spirit. John 7, come, believe, receive, and drink. Four things. You got to come. Somewhere you have to believe. It's for us and for you. And then receive and then drink. If you don't drink, you don't get it. Okay, God, thank you. Scott, come on up, would you? Luann, you're up, already up. Let's just, I'll close with a word, and then you can do whatever. Whew. Yes, Lord, our Father, we pray. Today, our stories, each one has a story, that whatever spoke to each one individually and collectively, it would stick. They would stick. They would hear the stories, remember the stories, and know that we are called to go, to be a light, to shine, regardless of how we feel, regardless of the resistance, the demons, the darkness, the angels. So, Lord, you know my heart. I could have shared many, many more stories, scriptures, but I did my best in the short time to at least share what I believe. Thank you for the baton, the scepter, the shepherd rod, and this church. Thank you. I feel at home here. I feel safe here. I feel at one here. Thank you for the new beginnings and Teen Central. Thank you for the ministry outreach. Thank you for Kathy's vision. Let it go beyond here. Let it go further than we can even think. All we want to do is to glorify you and be obedient through the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.
Well, thank you. Calvin's an interesting guy. He's loaded with stories. If you didn't figure that out, you will if you get to know him. Thank you for the staff. One thing the staff, I think, is a good reminder for us as a body is that this has to be God's church. It has to be him who's directing it, and we need to be obedient to him. So that's another part of our prayer life and seeking his will. So just a reminder, we're just servants of the Lord. So thanks for that message, too. So. Go and serve the Lord this week. Tell people about Jesus. Yeah. Thanks.
If anybody would like to pray with me, fine.